This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Top of the 8 o'clock hour here in our nation's capital, right here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charles and O'Willingham. I will take you up to 10 o'clock. The Rooster, Chris Russell, going to join the program coming up at about 8:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Washington Commanders offseason, as well as the question we're asking you right now on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. What would define success for the 2025 Washington Commanders? I continue to feel like everything is about the quarterback moving forward, y'all. Don't lose sight of what is the most important thing in this organization. And I don't mean to shortchange any of the key contributors from last year, Frankie Louvu, Mikey Sabre still, Terry, the makeshift offensive line. I don't mean to shortchange anybody. Quan Martin had a good year, Jeremy Chinn, Ertz, all of that. Oh, that's great. It's about the quarterback from here on out here in our nation's capital. Think about the way the other teams think about their offseason. And when I say the other teams, quote unquote, I'm talking about the heavy hitters, the big ballers. No pun intended. The Bengals, the Chiefs, the Bills, the teams that got the four horsemen, damn it. They look at their teams moving forward. And they define success by how their guy plays. And I think next year should be all about Jayden Daniels. Does he take a step forward? Does he take a step back? Does he stay the same? That is what I care about next year. His performance, and if he gets better, to me defines success. Statistically speaking, I think people look at C.J. Stroud and the Texans and go, yeah, C.J. took a step back. Their offensive coordinator had his head 9 feet up his tuchus. So they weren't a well-managed offense a year ago. That's why you saw them take a step back offensively. Not because Stroud suffered some major regression. And I don't want the same thing to be said next year about Daniels. If Daniels statistically is not as good, then do we consider that a failure? I know what Texans fans think. What do you guys think? I look at Daniels next year as a guy who enters the season firmly in that top 8 conversation. I don't know where exactly people would put him. I've been having this debate with my boys, who are Eagles fans, by the way. And the thing that I continue to hear is, yeah, it's Josh Allen, Lamar, Pat Mahomes, Burrow, and then now, fresh off of the Super Bowl, people want to put Jalen Hurts in that 5 spot. There are people, you know, that genuinely believe, hey, you know, Dak Prescott is in that conversation. There are people that firmly believe, hey, you know, C.J. Stroud ain't so bad. Herbert. There are other guys out there that are fighting for that spot. And I think next year, a way you can define success is if Daniels is clearly, no debate, looked at as the fifth best quarterback in football. Because I think it's going to be hard for him to surpass Joe Burrow. It's going to be hard for him to surpass Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, Lamar. Like, those guys, it's tough for him. But that's who he's now should be compared to based off of what we saw last year. And I would look at success next year partially as, hey, is he firmly entrenched as a top five guy? And the answer to that question, I think, is going to define whether or not next year is a success or not. If we're not going to look at it through the prism of the quarterback, I also think the defense taking a step forward and the youngins, your Ben Sinnott's, your Luke McCaffrey's, your Johnny Newton's, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, those guys got to get better as well for me to consider next year a success. Andre is in Manassas, wants to chime in. What's going on, Andre?
Hey, what's going on, man? You know, I mean, here's the thing. You're basically asking, you know, if this record is not as good as it was this year, what is successful? I mean, let's not forget, man. This was – Jaden Daniels was the lipstick, and the team was the pig. And
for sure, yeah.
You know, they called the team the reverse car wash, but with Jaden Daniels, the rims were clean. I think we got to remember that with Ron Rivera, this team was so bad. You know, four first-round draft picks no longer in the team. It was really bad. So I think the Commanders have a question. Do we want to, you know, go ahead and try to push this if we were close and try to make the Super Bowl, or do we truly try to build a team? Because I think if you really try to build a team, you're not going to have a successful season in terms of the record.
Sure.
So I guess the end of the day for me, everybody talks about it. This was conversation leading up to today. How many players on the team would we keep, and how many players would we trade? And to a man, every Redskin fan said, we're keeping nobody except Jaden and Terry. So I think if you can say at the end of the season, I got five to six players that I can keep, that these are core Commanders, and, you know, nobody else, you know, I wouldn't trade these guys for anybody else, then I think it's a successful season. We may be 8-8. We might be, you know, sorry, 8-7 or 8-9 or, you know, 9-8, one of those teams. But I think if we can say we got six players, including Jaden, that, you know, these are our guys, I think we're moving in the right direction.
Andre, I appreciate your call as always, my man. Enjoy the rest of your night, brother. 1-800-636-1067. I think it's a good point. It's what I continue to say. I don't know if the win total necessarily defines it. I think I'm looking at more of some of the things in between the margins, right? Can you identify your core moving forward? Washington last year, seventh oldest team in the National Football League. When you got key contributors like old Zach Ertz, old Bobby Wagner, you understand why that number is like that. But, like, you got to identify your core. And that means drafting well this year, having those picks contribute. And then, like I said before, the youngins from last year continue to get better. The other thing that would define success for me, too, is if you get some long-term guys under contract. Like, if you can get Terry McLaurin signed to an extension this offseason, I view that as a success for next year, right? If you can, you know, find a long-term – if Brandon Coleman proves to be your long-term left tackle next year, I think that should be considered a success. You get what I'm saying here? It's about, to me, understanding where you're at in the rebuild and staying the course and trying to continue to build and turn yourself into a sustained winner. I don't want to be a flash in the pan, right? I don't want to be, you know, like Ron, like the 2020 Commanders, where they thought they were better than what they were and they made moves that weren't very smart and calculated just because they were chasing the prosperity of the season before, which was a cop-out playoff, you know, appearance against Tampa. You know what I'm saying? So what defines success to you for the 2025 Washington Commanders? 1-800-636-1067. Gus is in Arlington, wants to chime in. What's going on, Gus? How you doing, brother?
Hey, Linnell. I have three elements to success.
Okay.
One is 10 wins. Because the wins are going to be better quality wins because it's against much better opponents. We didn't have control over our schedule, but basically we beat the lights of Jake Haener, Will Levis, Michael Penix Jr. in his second start ever, Cooper Rush. We didn't beat him. We lost him, actually. We beat Trey Lance. Kenny Pickett, we beat him. So we're going to face much better quarterbacks next year. The schedule's going to be harder. 10 wins is going to be a strong number. I also think we need to have, like you mentioned, Jaden Daniels, 16 starts at least, hopefully 17. You know, I want him to have that sort of Eli Manning, like 100 starts in a row,
yes,
sort of streak going on that we've never had in our, you know, as a fan base here, never had anything close to that. And then finally, I think, and I know it's more diminished because it's a 17-game season, but I want at least four wins in the division. So that means you have a winning record in the division. That also means you possibly swept your division foes twice. Imagine us having a 4-game win streak against the Giants.
Right.
You know, now we could start talking, like, you know, start talking S against all those Giants fans.
For sure.
It's not just one good year. It's like we got you for 4 straight games. You know, we split with Philly. Then we say, Philly, you may have that great roster, but you can't, you know, impose your will against us. You're always going to get bloody when we fight against Philly. So that's what those are 3 elements. And realize I didn't say playoffs.
Right.
I know you don't want to hear it. I'm okay with not making the playoffs because in Gibbs' era, people have to remember 1985, we finished 11-5, did not make the playoffs. In 1989, finished 10-6, did not make the playoffs.
Wow.
But 2 years later, we win a title in 87, we win a title in 91. I'm sure what happened, Jack Kent Cook always was, like, always hitting up Gibbs after winning the title. Like, we're going to win another one next year, right? And Gibbs was always sort of nervous, like, oh, man, let's just celebrate. You know, you're going to get, like, you know, can't be comfortable with just winning anymore after this year. It's going to be like, are we going all the way after this year? But this year just established the winning.
Hey, Gus, that's a really good point. And my good friend is a Eagles fan, and he always says, man, when you're a successful team year in and year out, it's almost as if the regular season doesn't matter to you as a fan because you're waiting until you get
Eagles,
to that. Yeah. 3 Super Bowl
Eagles
appearances
fans are scared,
in 8 years.
Eagles fans are scared of Jaden Daniels. We're going to be the new Eagles Cowboys of the next decade.
I hope so,
and
brother.
That's what we wanted.
Brother. I appreciate the call as always. 1-800-636-1067. Chris Russell joins this program coming up at 8:30. Coming up next, want to start to begin to look ahead to this Commanders offseason. We spent a whole lot of time talking about next year for the Commanders, what will define success. When we come back, my thoughts on the way this offseason not can go, not may go, needs to go for the Washington Commanders. That's next on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in about 10 to 12 minutes, to the chagrin of many, we're joined by the Rooster, Chris Russell, my guy, hosting weekdays 1 to 4 over our sister station, Team 980. I love giving our guy Chris Russell heart.
Is this still a Windbag Wednesday?
I've been over here so much. We've had to put our Windbag Wednesday appointments on hold. So that's why we had to have him on here tonight. We're getting an abbreviated edition of Windbag Wednesday coming your way in the next 10 to 12 minutes when our pal, the Rooster, joins the program. Right now, though, I want to continue to talk about this Washington Commanders offseason. Every time I crack the mic, I say it. Metal Chris rolls his eyes, and we go back and forth. Well, technically, last year was most important because of Jaden. Damn it, Chris, you know what I meant. This is the most pivotal offseason for the Commanders of this rebuild. They've got the quarterback. The organizational structure is in the proper place. And now it's about how you capitalize on that. And I want to begin to take a look at the mentality that this group should have. Because the more and more that I think about it, there are just, and Chris, you've heard me say this before too, as sweet as last year was, as much as we love that blue-eyed, handsome devil, Adam Peters, this job is tough. It ain't for the weak of heart. And they've got some big, difficult decisions to make. They retooled this roster on the fly last year. And I give them a round of applause, a pat on the back, whatever they want, every time I can, because it was impressive. So much so that I don't know if we'll see something like we saw last year ever again in the NFL. To have that many guys enter a new building and a new regime and all be on the same page that they were, and to get the buy-in from guys. One, I'm going to give the fellas in Ashburn a hell of credit. It speaks to, and it's a testament to the culture that they're building. And that was year one. That was year one of it. Now people know, hey, I come to D.C., I come to DMV, we may be competing for the big dance. It's go hard or go home. NFC Championship week last year, it was so cool seeing the banner. It felt awesome. But Terry said something, man, that resonated with me so much. And it was kind of the whatever media member asked him was obviously taking a peek ahead to this year. And Terry responded with like, yeah, you know, dudes want to come here potentially. And it's like, yeah, dudes want to come here, but we got that commander culture set. We got a commander standard set. So there's a way we do things. There's a way we go about business. And everybody that comes in here is going to have to adhere to that. And I said, you know what? You're right. You're right. They have built an environment to where they can take a risk on a bad culture guy. They can take a risk on somebody that's had maybe character concerns in a previous destination because of the environment that they have worked so diligently to foster here in D.C. So as we get geared up for this offseason, I begin to think, one, like I said, can they retool this thing on the fly again? It's not likely. I don't think it's replicable. And in reality, we're still learning about who this front office is because they sold us on building through the draft, yet they signed a bunch of free agents in year one. How they go about their business this offseason will be super interesting to see. The way that they go about their business this offseason is going to be very telling about, one, where they think this roster is, and then, two, how they view this thing. Because it's going to be hard because I can't ask Adam Peters this question. I can't ask Lance Newmark this question. I wonder how they view themselves right now going into next year and how much differently they're looking at this. What prism are they looking at this year through? Or next year through. Because I continue to believe, and I think they'll agree with this, and they said this in their introductory press conference, and every good team that builds good rosters understands this. You fill needs in free agency, you build the core of your roster through the draft. And I think this year, they'll have a real opportunity to actually go out and do that with some of the moves that they can make. They still have a bunch of holes to fill because they put Band-Aids on a lot of positions. They've got cap space, like we know, but they've also got 29 unrestricted free agents. I think a lot of those guys end up being brought back. My question now is, how aggressive are they during free agency? What positions do they ultimately prioritize? And I think I got a little bit of a lean. I'm willing to put my reputation on the line, and I know Chris Russell's going to get a kick out of this, and maybe somewhere that nut Greek Athens is riding around listening somewhere. You all get a kick out of this. I'm willing to put my brand and reputation on the line to bet that they will attack the trenches hard in free agency. And we rattled through some names yesterday. Trey Smith from Kansas City. Alaric Jackson, the tackle from the L.A. Rams. Will Fries, the guard, seventh rounder. Out in Indianapolis. James Daniels from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Here's another name that I didn't get to bring up, and it kind of fits along the lines of that veteran that this group brought in this past year, right? We saw Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner. If he's healthy and they got a clear answer on the medicals with this guy, what about Zach Martin, future Hall of Fame guard? Would you bring him in? Washington's got holes, man, across this roster, and how they go about filling them, I think will tell you whether or not we could buy into this front office or not. Because like I continue to say, the jury's still out. The jury's still out. Attacking the trenches on both sides of the ball is how you close the gap between yourself and Philadelphia. That's how you do it. And the football gods, once again on their side, for the past 30 years, they haven't been on Washington's side because of that rat-faced bastard Dan Snyder. But now the football gods are giving us the good juju, the good mojo, so to speak. Because guess what? Every need that the Commanders have on this roster, they can walk out of free agency putting a Band-Aid on it. Whether it's offensive line, Rich, and more offense. There are more offensive linemen that I'd be willing to take a flyer on in this year's free agent class than I can remember in a long time. Because here's what I say about the premium positions relative to hitting free agency. They're free for a reason. You normally don't see good, big-time players, especially up front along the offensive line, actually making it to free agency. So it's going to be interesting. There are a couple of young, intriguing guys out there. Alaric Jackson, I think, is only 27. Will Fries, 26. Trey Smith, 26. James Daniels, 28. So they've got the ability to put Band-Aids on some of their spots and then go out and get and reinforcements in the draft. Guys that will eventually take over as starters on your offensive line and on your defensive line. I think they hit the second and third wide receiver market hard. When I say second and third, I mean like the tier. I'm talking about, you know, guys like your Darius Slayton. Talking about like a Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Your own guys that you have in-house. Noah Brown, De'Ami Brown. All are going to be candidates to be brought in here next year to help this wide receiver core. I'm glad that the Bengals are going to franchise T. Higgins so we can stop talking about his ass. I don't want T. Higgins. Now, Chris Godwin, I'd take a flyer on, right? Chris Godwin, I'd take a flyer on. And I hate when people talk about Chris Godwin in his injury history. You take away last year, Chris Godwin doesn't miss more than two or three games a year. Point blank. We'll see ultimately how things play out here. Oh, it's almost like your ears were burning. Our favorite follically challenged Greek. What do you think defines success for the 2025 Commanders?
Well, I mean, first of all, I was hoping you would wait to bring me on so that it would be with Chris and we could have a reenactment of the Varsity show that, you know, when I would call in and you know, it would have our good times and ripping on you and we could just tag team the hell out of you and just send you packing like the JV that you are. But anyways, okay, Darius Slayton sucks, okay? I don't want him, okay? Chris Godwin, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Chris Godwin is coming off a dislocated ankle, and you know that's a pretty serious injury. So
a dislocated
ankle,
it's not that serious, Athan.
Well, you tore your ACL three times, and I thought you were going to be a second round pick in the draft if it hadn't happened to you. Okay, listen, Linnell. Honestly, in all seriousness, it's about the defense. Yeah. They can add pieces. I was telling the guy who answered the phone. I think Ben Sinnott's going to do more next year. I think they're somehow find a way to get Luke McCaffrey involved. You've got to find a way to get speed and athleticism and size on this defense. Yeah. We got to find a way to get at least pressure off one edge. I know you think Javonte Jean-Baptiste is the next Lawrence Taylor. But that ain't happening, okay? And then you got McGee, who's always injured at linebacker. Okay, I don't think he's going to be the next London Fletcher.
Jordan. I think there's promise with Jordan McGee, and they like him internally, but to your point, your best ability is availability, so I hear you for sure.
Exactly. And, hey, real quick, Westbrook-Ikhine, mm-hmm. I'd take a flyer on that dude. I think he's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I think it was something like 8 touchdowns last year. Athan, I appreciate you chiming in, as
Shout
always.
Shout out to
man.
The Varsity, Chris Russell. Chris Russell, number one in sports, D.C. area. Varsity players.
That's enough of that. 1-800-636-1067. By golly, that's Chris Russell's music, the Rooster. joins us next. If you can't tell by the rejoin music, you're listening to the dulcet tones of the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, as we take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. Slick Vic Ferreira ran in here giving us breaking news. Well, I thought it was breaking news. It is, though. Georgetown putting belt to ass of Providence. They're up 25 in the second half as Ed Cooley is on his way to registering his first win against the program he used to be at the helm of. So all good for him, and just condolences to the Cooley family. As I found out earlier, Ed's mother passed away 2 days ago, and I don't know if that has anything to do with the effort they're getting tonight from the young pups, but a masterclass being put on right now over at Cap One Arena as they are all over Providence. Right now, I guess it's to the chagrin of many, we're getting ready to be joined by one of the absolute best talking all things Washington Commanders here in the D.C. area, the Rooster, Chris Russell. You can hear him weekdays, 1-4 over on our sister station, the Team 980. And we've rattled the cage during the adult hours. So that means I hope we don't get too X-rated.
Is it all right that Metal Chris actually played my theme music, my brand?
Chris, this is not how this is going to go. I see your tweet. I just saw your tweet. I mean, joining the people's host or whatever his brand is. You are something else.
I mean, am I in the Rolodex or am I not in the Rolodex?
Come on, man. You know, you're a big part of it. We don't even put you in the Rolodex.
Am I like a slump buster for you?
You're family, Chris. So you don't get put in the Rolodex. All right. You got a plate. You got a stocking at the Christmas tree.
Didn't know if I was a mercy for you.
What's going on, man? Have you been listening, or are you just blind to the conversation right now?
I was listening a little bit earlier. I was listening a little bit earlier when you were in the middle of a diatribe on the Commanders, and then you got distracted by Nationals news that was 8 hours old.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
And then you were all discombobulated, and I said, I was tempted to text you and say, oh, my God, Linnell, just focus on what I need you to focus on.
Yeah.
But I realized I'm not your boss, and I'm just your colleague and your friend. And that's not really my job, so I'll just scream at myself and scream at the dog. And then I connected to the Comrex, the access unit, and the first thing I hear is my guy AA, Athan in Annapolis, just going off and telling you that the varsity lives forever. And damned if he's not right. I mean, he's just, you know, I mean, of course. I live in your dreams, man. And in your nightmares.
Now that we've got that out of the way, yeah. Chris Russell joins us.
How are you?
To get down, I'm good, man. I'm excited. It's been a fun show to this point. We've taken a good amount of calls. We've busted some chops, as you like to say, my friend. So we're rolling, man. Having a good time.
Well, you like to steal all of my sayings.
Here we go.
How many times have you said we're heading towards a final hour of power? You know, and
oh, you get your bet your ass. I'll get ready to say it in the next 19 minutes or so here. So don't look. Don't hold your breath. But no, obviously, wanted to have you on. I've really enjoyed your measured approach to this Commanders offseason. I think you do a good job. I give you crap all the time. You're an industry plant that doesn't bleed burgundy and gold the way we all do. But listening to you, I think you've had a really measured approach to the way Washington should be attacking this offseason in terms of what is the responsible way to think about this thing. I keep saying, and I've said it to you a million times to this point, I think it's the most critical offseason of the rebuild. They got to capitalize on what happened last year while also having the discernment to not go Kanye crazy blowing money all over the place.
Right, and you can't just be Beyonce in love with everyone else.
Exactly.
Right? You have to have glory. What is it? Glory. The Tennessee Titans running back thing that you stole? I can't remember.
It's
exotic
Smash Mouth football.
There you go.
If you heard what I said, and I said this for you because I knew you were hooked up.
Uh-huh.
I said, I'm willing to put my brand and reputation on the line.
Yeah.
Washington is going to attack the trenches hard in both free agency and the draft if I know Adam Peters and Lance Newmark the way that I think they do. And I was talking to you on the phone earlier. the football gods have been on their side. It's actually a really strong offseason. I don't even want to call it draft in terms of the free agent pool and then how deep this defensive line crop is in the draft where they can really reinvest and retool these trenches ahead of August.
I really think it's strong offensive line across the board in free agency. You mentioned defensive line in the draft, especially at edge, which is a big need. Corner obviously is there. I think in both. It's not a strength, at least the way I perceive it, at wide receiver or at running back, but there is some decent value if you dive down a little bit deeper than the household names. If you're willing to look past Stephon Diggs and not wanting him to come home, he a terp, and be a pain in the ass here off of a major knee injury. I'm totally fine with that. But if you dig down a little bit deeper, you can find some value. Guys like Mac Hollins of the Buffalo Bills, guys of that ilk. Not to mention the Debo Samuels and the Cooper Cups that are available via trade. Christian Kirk is another name that may come free because he's got a large cap number. He's with Jacksonville. He played with Cliff Kingsbury, that type of thing. So if you're willing to dig into, beyond just the major star names or the household names, T. Higgins, that everybody wants, I think you can find good value there, and that leads you into, hey, man, this is a really important offseason. Now, can I say this is a more important offseason than last offseason? I don't know if I could say that, Linnell. It's a really important offseason, but I don't know if I could clearly say this is more important than last, because last was so important in changing not only the football roster but the culture.
I call this year the most important one because I think there are expectations now attached to everything that
That's
they
fair.
Do.
That's
and
fair.
Depending on, the mental makeup of our front office, wink, wink, they either are going to succumb to the pressure or they're going to say the hell with the radio dopes thing, the hell with the fan base thinks. We're going to have the discernment to go out and make tough decisions. Because when you have 29 unrestricted free agents, Chris Russell, you can't bring back everybody.
Chris okay. Russell? Okay, Lionel.
But you get what I'm saying here, right? Like, I said it earlier in the show, like, this job ain't for the weak at heart.
Yeah.
It is it's fun. We love talking football, but I'm like, if I'm Adam Peters, like, I'm up all night, every night.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, how do I capitalize off of last year?
Yeah, and listen, I mean, if anybody thinks that Adam Peters is, doing what a lot of people do in the NFL world, right? Like, you see the players and, maybe some of the coaches and whatever that, not if they have new jobs, but, if they have old jobs, maybe they're taking some time off. I don't know this for sure, but I can't imagine Adam Peters is spending 14 hours a day in the facility still, and then going home and seeing his young kids, and spending a little bit of time with them. I mean, this is not an off season, for anybody but players.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. And what's interesting is, when you start looking at it, right? We sit here and say, well, this is what they should do in the draft. Well, yes, but we have to know what they're going to do in free agency first.
Yes.
And if you think about it, because of the compressed calendar, right? Now, they dealt with a compressed calendar last year because they weren't hired until, 2 weeks after the season ended for them, therefore the regular season. And then Dan Quinn wasn't hired until, a week and a half after that. So it was almost a month
last
after
coach
that,
hired
right?
The
so they had a compressed calendar. Well, this year they have a compressed calendar. Why? For the right reason.
Right.
Because they were in the NFC championship game. So it's interesting when you start to think about, people think they have all this time to evaluate tape and all this time to think about what they're going to do and who they're going to sign. There isn't a lot of time, man. The combine is next week. That's where a lot of these deals start to come together, or where at least you go to the combine saying, I have an idea of who I want to focus on in terms of the individual workout stuff and who I want to talk to and who I want to spend time with. But more free agency. Hey, man, we've zeroed in on your guy. Let's kind of start informal discussions right now over a cocktail or two at Vintage 51 or whatever the hell it is that everybody gets together.
Ocean 51, Prime 51, whatever.
Prime 51.
Yeah, whatever
Prime 51.
It is.
There you go.
But no, I think you make a tremendous point. And be quick when I ask you this, Chris, because I it's more of a yes or no. And if you don't know, say no. If you know, say yes.
Mm-hmm.
When they got hired last year, the pro scouts were the pro scouts that were already in-house, right? Because they they crushed free agency, Rooster, in a way that we just haven't seen in the NFL before.
Right. That's why the scouting, you know, the scouting contracts generally go June 1st to June 1st. Now, some, you know, vary in terms of, you know, language and whatever, but rarely do you see a new general manager take over and fire everybody.
Yeah.
Now, they'll make some changes, obviously, and some additions, but a lot of times, because the work is so close to being complete or so in the middle of it, quite honestly, even if they're not great, a lot of times you'll take the information that those guys give you that they've been grinding on both pro and college, and then you put your spin, your take, your people, the people that you're bringing with you, and the reason why you got that job, you put your spin on it, your stamp on it.
For sure. Yeah, it's going to be interesting because I don't remember seeing a lot of transactions happening with their pro scouting department. And I look at how well they performed based off all the free agents they hit on. And it's going to be interesting to see how they continue to maneuver. I want to get into a couple of positions of need here in terms of what should be the priority in the draft. That is, Chris, I keep saying it's hard. Like you said, it's hard to know what the draft looks like until you finish up free agency. I continue to believe, even if you are able to retool your offensive line and defensive line via free agency, I still think it shouldn't stop you from taking guys high at those positions in the draft, because you need your core to be – you need your foundation set moving forward. So at 29, are you right now leaning towards sticking and picking, or do you think a trade back is more likely? Obviously, I know it's tough because we don't know who's going to be available, but based off of the needs they have.
Here's how I would kind of approach it. I think you could, at 29, look at doing either or, moving up or moving back. But to me, it's more likely that they would move back because they've already surrendered extra assets to get Marshon Lattimore, right? So ideally, at this point, you're probably trying to move slightly back if you can, if you feel like there's good value. And I know you've talked about this, right? And Daniel Jeremiah has written about this, and other scouting analysts have written about this, that this draft is pretty deep between 20 and 60, maybe 20 and 65. So if it's that, right, and especially we know it's deep at edge, right, which is their greatest need at this point, does it make sense if you feel like you can jump back, say, from 29 to, 32 with the Eagles, even though that's an in-division trade? They're made. They're certainly made during the draft. They made them last year. And, you know, whether it works out or not, we'll see. The bottom line is you can make a trade back, go back two spots, one spot, three spots, go back to the top pick of the second round and replenish some of your supply that you gave up for Marshon Lattimore if the draft is still deep at that time at the position areas that you determine the most important to address. And again, we can only know that based on what they do in free agency. Right. Like, if they don't go out and trade for Myles Garrett, which I don't think they're going to do, if they don't go out and sign a Khalil Mack or a Josh Sweat or a Milton Williams or somebody along those lines, DeMarcus Lawrence, right, who they've got familiarity with, Odigizawa.
Let me say this real quick about Osa. If you look at the way our interior struggled last year and the type of player Osa Odigizuwa is, I don't think he fits here.
Well,
they need a big, double team eating defensive tackle.
He's he's a penetrator and a disruptor.
He's more of a defensive end to me.
You know, that's kind of like, to me, Milton Williams, right?
Is
a guy who can penetrate, disrupt. But he also, I think, can play, and he has played, a little defensive end or a little bit on the edge, right? So, you know, again, I'm ideally looking for that type of body type. A disruptor, a guy who doesn't necessarily, I don't need somebody to get me 18 sacks.
No, you just need somebody that can push the pocket and then make your edges more impactful.
And seal the edge, correct.
Yes.
And then I can bring back Dante Fowler if I want.
Yeah, and I think it was ESPN Insiders did their best fit for the top 50 guys. they penciled in Hassan Reddick here. I mean, you might as well bring Dante Fowler back if you're going to bring in Hassan Reddick.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. I'll just tell you that right now. I mean, that guy cares so much more about himself and his money.
His brand.
And his status, and he butchered that to no end. Yes. I don't want any part of that.
Yeah.
And remember, not every move that you make in free agency is obviously going to work. Think about this, right? People don't realize this. As great as Howie Roseman is, Howie Roseman screwed up and signed Bryce Huff. Bryce Huff was a non-factor all year.
Almost a DNP at times.
Yeah, a non-factor all year for the Eagles, right? Mm-hmm. And yet they still won a Super Bowl, right? So you can think somebody's going to fit and be as good as Howie Roseman is and still strike out in free agency. And that's why I almost feel like they might double down in some areas. Like, they might not sign one edge. They might sign a big edge and then still draft one at 29 or with their first pick in the draft.
Oh, for sure. That's,
meaning, you know, again, adding depth and rotational, especially in those positions. And we all know edge and defensive line are rotational positions. And that's just been proven time and time again that if you don't have that kind of rotation where guys have to play 60 snaps a week, it ain't going to work. They're going to break down, and they're not going to be as effective.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating, man. They'll see the way that they attack the draft, because I'm a big believer of, like, listening to multiple respected guys and then kind of corroborating the evidence, so to speak. And to a man, everyone continues to rave about how many starting caliber defensive tackles there are in this draft. I'm starting to get the inkling, Chris, that the D-tackle group has more depth and more starting talent than maybe on the edge. There are a lot of projects potentially on the edge, but, like, man, if you just look at the combine invite numbers, there are, like, 19 more defensive linemen in total that were invited to this year's combine compared to last year. Yeah. In another nugget, I don't know if you're familiar with this, so there are 10 guys in this class on the edge with a pass rush win rate of over 21%. There were only two of those guys last year, Leyte Latu from UCLA and then Jared Verse. So think about that. There are edges out of the wazoo. There are tackles out of the wazoo, which is why, to me, man, you go hard in free agency on getting your rotational pieces. And I know Chase Young, I bring up Chase Young, people get pissed off when I say that. If you were willing and okay with Cleveland Farrell last year, why are you not okay with Chase Young? They're the same guy.
Yeah.
Same guy.
I wasn't okay with Cleveland Farrell. I was calling for him to be released in training camp.
I know.
And I was wrong on that, obviously. He was brought in, you know, leadership, whatever.
He's a depth piece, but yes.
Yeah, your point is well served. Now, listen, there's just a lot of weird feelings about that, but he's still in the area. I know he's still jacked. I've talked to people that have been around him. He's still jacked, right? It's not like Chase Young has become, you know,
he didn't have a bad year last year.
No, absolutely not. So I wouldn't be totally dead. Now, if you're talking about a long-term deal, a 3-4 year deal, of course not. Here's the point why I say double down, because of what you just mentioned, the depth at edge and defensive tackle or interior defensive lineman in the draft, in this draft class, along with what it looks like it is in free agency and potentially trade. Remember, Trey Hendrickson is a potential trade. There are people tossing around Max Crosby. I don't think that's going to happen in terms of trade. Obviously, we know with Myles Garrett, right? Not everybody, even though it is so important to have these guys, not everybody is going to be able to and want to throw around the cash to keep them or be able to keep them happy and surround them and properly support them. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, I think you have to look at both of those things and say, just because they sign, let's just say if they sign Chase Young in free agency, right?
Doesn't mean he's your starting defensive end day one.
Well, not only that, but it doesn't mean you stop there.
Exactly. I can see that's the way that I would like them to do it. Sign multiple guys at a bargain bin price at the positions of need and then double down on them in the draft.
Yep.
The wide receiver thing, real quick, how do you see they best address wide receiver?
Well, I'm with you. As I've been saying all along, I want nothing to do with T. Higgins. That has nothing to do with the player. I mean, I know he's a talent, right? I mean, how great is he as a number one? I don't know because he's never been put in that situation. Here's what I know. He's got a great talent around him in Ja'Marr Chase. He's got a great quarterback. He put together a great statistical year, but he's missed 10 games over the last 2 years. I'm not paying $30 million a year for that.
Can't
no chance. Not to mention, and some people took umbrage with me on Twitter about this, like, you have to figure out what the hell you're going to do with Terry McLaurin long term, right?
That should be the number one thing you concern yourself with this offseason.
Right, and a lot of people are saying, no, wait a second. You don't do a big extension with Terry McLaurin because by the time that contract extension starts, it's going to be 2 years from now, and he's going to be, what, 31? And my point is, listen, if this was last year where Terry was coming off of four consecutive years with four touchdowns or five touchdowns, you could say, all right, well, maybe I'm not going to give him that long-term extension.
Chris, yeah.
And I think I said that. But now, how do you not do that?
You got to do it. And here's the thing that people aren't going to like. They better hope Terry is bought in and wants to be here, which I think he does because just the type of character kid he is, he's a hard worker. But, like, dude, the wide receiver market is about to explode. If I was Washington, yep. I would get it done now.
Yes.
Don't wait.
Yes.
Get it done now.
And I think Terry's more than willing to work with them and not say, I need $38 million a year. But if you wait and you piss him off, as he showed a couple of years ago, when he actually, I mean, he held out a veteran minicamp, and people forget about that, right?
Yeah.
He just wasn't there. He wasn't showing up at all. At least Deron Payne was showing up and, you know, participating during individual duties. Terry wasn't doing any of that stuff, right? And he wasn't even showing up, quite honestly. So you don't want to piss him off, especially
that's
coming
be
off
my
the
priority,
year
man.
That he came off of.
For sure. Chris, I appreciate you giving us some time, as always, man. I
you
stink,
it,
and I'm the JV, so the clock's ruined. So I got to hurry up and go to break. We'll take a quick time out, and we come back. Final hour of power here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. Next.